Hi, this is Gabrielle from Cat Dog Fish, and I'm joined here today by my partner in crime, Dr. Chris Tufnell, to answer all the burning questions we have about how to be a better pet parent. As usual, we are joined in the studio by Dizzy and Tiggy, two lovely little doggies of very dubious provenance, and we like it that way. And they're running around, and we're giving them as much love as we can while still recording said podcast for you. You should be glad that this is audio and not video, because I am wearing a bright neon top, and Chris has been taking the piss out of me
I said to Gabrielle when she walked in, I said she better not trip over outside because a helicopter might land on her.
Yeah, thanks. I thought Brits were supposed to be polite. Well, clearly not. Anyway, on to the important topics at hand. And so what we're going to talk about today is one that's very near and dear to my heart, as it is to many pet parents, I'm sure, is the question about whether animals have feelings and emotions. And frankly, it's not a question to me at all. I think it's ridiculous and idiotic that anyone thinks otherwise.
I think if we get on to why do we care whether animals have feelings, I think it's really important to actually examine what we're really doing here. We are a really advanced biological organism. We have an immense, what's called cortex in our brain. So our consciousness is really, really refined. Okay. It's as refined as you'll find almost in the animal kingdom. Yes, we're starting to see that dolphins, probably whales, you know, a number
pigs.
Of others have got very defined cortices. But what we have to accept is we're all different. So I don't want to argue that pain is any more or less unpleasant, say, in a dolphin than it is in me, but it may well be completely different in a fish or a chicken compared to me. Now, being different doesn't mean to say I want to value it any more or less, except that there is a big debate in fish that actually they don't sense pain in the same way as we do, because they just don't have the working parts in their brain to do so.
Yeah, but I am dealing with I have a moral quandary right now, because we have fish, and right now we only have one fish because my husband has not gotten around to replenishing the aquarium, and it drives me crazy, but that's more on another day, because I see that fish every day looking sad, meaning he comes to the tank when I come over, he rushes up to get fed. I think he's absolutely dying of loneliness, and it breaks my bloody heart.
Yeah.
And so, should we even own fish? Is the whole notion of putting fish in an aquarium that is not the size of the ocean cruel and inhumane? I mean, it sounds trivial, but I really do think about that.
Well,
it goes to the whole pet ownership and how you define that.
Yeah.
And
well, as you know, one of our experts, David Cuff, said
one of our cat dog fish experts.
Yeah.
And you can find his bio on the website. And he is brilliant.
He said last time we were chatting, and this gave us all absolute food for thought, is that if you open your door, it doesn't quite work with a fish, this, but if you open your door and the animal leaves the building and it doesn't return of its own volition, it shouldn't be kept as a pet. So he was basically arguing that if you keep a budgerigar and you let it out of its cage and it flutters off and it doesn't want to come back, it's not a pet, it's a captive. And
wow.
And we shouldn't be keeping them as pets. And it does really make you think. So you're absolutely right. Now my argument here, I think one thing I really want to say is there's no right answer here.
So well, I think there is a right answer.
Well,
I tend to be a bit strident in my views about this.
Yeah. No, I don't believe there isn't a right answer. The thing about ethics is that ethical considerations can vary around a family table. You can have a vegetarian 14-year-old girl alongside her 12-year-old brother who is eating a steak and more than happy to do so, and parents that are a vegetarian or not vegetarian. And so ethics vary, and they also move from culture to culture. So some cultures are very happy eating certain species that we're not happy eating, you know. So there's difference about ethics. What shouldn't move, what we shouldn't have any discussion as to whether it's right or wrong, is animal welfare. So I
okay, but so back to the fish. Is my fish in pain? Is he dying of loneliness? Because I've read accounts that say that they show physiological signs of loneliness. It manifests in inactivity, in lower weight, in lots of different markers. So whether they feel sad is another question.
Well, no, that is the absolutely critical thing, because if your fish is a shoaling fish, so it's one of those fish.
What
that,
the hell is a shoaling fish?
Oh, I shoal, used it because I knew you wouldn't understand that word.
Oh, you knew I wouldn't understand. Oh, no. Now Dr. Tufnell is going to mansplain. Oh, I cannot wait for this. Okay.
No.
Shoaling.
So fish go around in groups in the sea, and some people will talk about them going around in shoals.
Or schools,
exactly.
Thank you.
And you can talk about schools of fish. Shoaling fish that live with other fish, will almost certainly behave differently when they're kept on their own than they would with other fish, because they probably have a physiological need to live with other fish. And they probably feel insecure and so unsafe and at danger because they're not living with other fish. So actually, in terms of just allowing them to exhibit their own natural behaviours, you should keep them with other fish. Does that mean they feel lonely when they're on their own? Probably not in the way that you and I would feel lonely if we're lost somewhere and we've got no friends. You know, the sensation of loneliness is a very much a higher cortex thing for us. And the fish don't have that. They just don't have the brain parts to be able to have those feelings. So putting our feelings on the fish and saying the fish feels exactly the same as I do when I'm lonely is incorrect. Does it have a physiological need to live with other organisms of its own type? Yes, it absolutely does. And it's unhealthy when it doesn't.
Okay,
so you must get another fish.
Yes, no, my husband has to sort it out and get. But I also think that this is where
it's a bit unfair on him. He's not here to defend himself.
He does not need to be. He needs to do his job. Anyway, so I also think that this is where fish owners have to absolutely understand what they put into a tank, because of these different species have different indications.
Absolutely.
And there are lots of really great experts out there who can help with that.
Really important. We keep tropical fish that can be kept in temperate temperatures, so we don't have to heat our tank, for instance. And we take loads of advice from the people who sell us the fish and constantly replace their vegetation in the tank and everything. And we think we've got very happy fish. But you do have to be very careful. But actually, coming back to what's a pet and what isn't a pet and whether you should keep them, one of the things I think we need to consider is that when you keep an animal in captivity, yes, you are preventing it from roaming free, but you're also preventing it from being predated on.
Mm-hmm.
So that means
being killed.
Being eaten by another animal.
Thank you very much.
So if you keep a predator in a cage and prevent it from eating prey, that may be a very different sort of lineup to keeping a prey animal in a cage and preventing it from being eaten by a predator.
Okay, so my
so
cats...
So one sounds good, one sounds bad, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but look at my cats. They are both prey if there's a fox out there that might kill them if they stray, and then they're predator because they kill birds.
Yeah.
Now, I live in the city. I have an apartment. I have, and this is another thing I wrestle with, is I've got my cats who live in my flat. I keep them in my flat. They don't roam free because we are in a city, and they have an outside space, so they breathe fresh air, but they don't roam around. And I know lots of people who let their cats roam around and then come back. But then they are in danger of what the city life is. And I just can't let my cats be exposed to that. However, sometimes I do feel guilty that I am dampening their natural wandering instinct. And so I worry about that. Although I've now spoiled them so much that they are fat, happy, and know that I give them so much love they can't get anywhere else.
Well, I think this could be a discussion for another podcast too, because actually, whether you should keep animals totally restricted or whether you should keep them out, it is almost a non-argument, because the what you're trying to do is make it really simple and make it sound like, you know, that actually keeping them in might be bad and letting them out might be good. And as you've rightly pointed out, letting them out might be bad and keeping them in might be good. The point is whether you're allowing the animal to have an environment to exist in that is fulfilling its needs.
Sure.
So do they feel happy? So the difference between an animal kept in a featureless room where it can't get out of and it's got no...
Nowhere
to explore, no stimulation, nothing to entertain itself, and an animal being allowed out into a dangerous part of the world. So our cats here, they roam free around us.
We live in the wilds of West Berkshire. You know, like I see trees and grass, and it's quite lovely.
Well, I'm afraid that our cats are very much the predator around here. They're under very little threat from anything else, and the small beasties of the area are at risk, but we spend a lot of money also on feeding the wild birds to ensure that the wild bird population is supplemented by
that's
the fact that
that's your moral.
That's the trade-off.
Yes, the trade-off. Yeah. Okay, well, I think we could all do well to discover what those moral trade-offs are and try to redress the balance. Obviously, there's an awful lot to talk about with regards to how animals feel. And I know that our pet parents in the audience all have opinions as well. And hopefully, so email us and let us know what you think. You can email me at gabrielle@catdogfish.com, G-A-B-R-I-E-L-L-E. Love to hear what you think. And we can address it the next time we get together.
Brilliant.
Thanks, Chris. Gab.
For information on how to take expert care of your pet, go to catdogfish.com.